Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Let me mention to you a news item that I read. It says this, the plans go forward March in New York City. And it says this, a replica of the temple to be built in New York City this month. CBN New Victory Arch was scheduled to be built in Times Square early and was canceled. At that time, many Christians protested the arch's construction. A new plan is to build the arch in New York City's Hall Park. The Institute for Digital Archaeology is in charge of the project. And so here's this this news item, you know, talking about this invention, if you will, of man, that he wants to rebuild a replica of this and wants to now point to the worship of Baal, especially in New York City. When I read this article, I couldn't help but thinking about what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29 says this, "Lo, this I have found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." In setting our focus, you know, on looking at this idea of the inventions of man, I think that this is a text of scripture that should be ringing in our ears when we think about the types of things that fallen man comes up with in order to express his sinful nature in this world today. You know, first of all, think about this text. When we look at this text in a little bit greater detail, think about the people that are spoken about in this text. You know, the text says first that God made man upright, but they, it says in the past. The expression was singular at first, but then it's plural. So it takes into consideration Adam, the father of the whole human race, in the very beginning. But then it speaks about all of his posterity afterwards. Adam has his invention, as we know, in the very beginning. And his posterity after him, they all have their inventions as well. Adam was tempted by the devil with an unholy invention to go ahead and to find out another way of happiness apart from what God had appointed to him in paradise there in the garden. Adam was not content with the happiness that God had provided with him, but he desired for himself a higher perfection, and he committed himself to follow after these newly devised ways that Satan and his own deceived heart had suggested unto him. And this invention has resulted in the sin and the misery of that the entire world groans under, even until this day. And then after that point, when we see it plural here, that it speaks about, but they have sought out many inventions, we see that just as Adam had his invention, so all of his posterity has their inventions as well. We as the offspring of Adam are still inventing ways to find happiness apart from God. And these ways are not going to end well. So in the first thing there, I just wanted to take a few thoughts about the people that are mentioned or spoken of in that text. Secondly, look at the particular word that is chosen to speak of our sins. It says here, the inventions. They sought out many inventions. Now, there are profitable inventions and good things in our society today that we enjoy, and there are many, many benefits that God, in his good providence, has allowed us to enjoy here and have been benefits to mankind. Many of them would not necessarily be evil, and they don't fall into the category of sin. And while they can alleviate some of the misery of man, they can do nothing at all to change man's heart. Now, I think that as we think about this, while they can alleviate the suffering that are there, they're still lacking in the sense to bring any real change to man or any sort of real happiness to his heart. certain inventions. You know, they've been able to melt some of the hardest metals and bending them to form into any sort of form for that he desires. But he can do nothing at all to soften the heart that is at enmity against God. It's completely beyond the skills of men to be able to do that. There is no creature so fierce that it has not been tamed by mankind, James tells us. And yet man cannot tame his own heart. God must tame us, and he must turn us away from ourselves and away from sin and turn us back to himself. There are sinful inventions, though, that man has made as well. New ways of that he devises of carrying out that which is in his sinful heart. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 through 32 seems to speak of this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, proudful, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God and that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Micah chapter 2 and verse 1 speaks of fallen man devising iniquity and working evil upon their beds. So you can see here that the scripture speaks about the idea of man's inventions and devising iniquity in his heart. The counsels of the devices of men, you know, to carry out their corrupt views and their corrupt intentions are seen in these verses. The intentions or the inventions that are mentioned here in this passage are intended as various ways in which man seeks satisfaction apart from God. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says this, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There seems to be, you know, this bottomless, unsearchable depth of wickedness that's in the human heart, which none but God can fully discover. The heart is devious. It's fraudulent. It's prone to deception. The scripture often uses the term inventions and imaginations in order to describe sin in other passages of scripture. Remember what was said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. This was just before the flood was poured out upon all mankind, a worldwide flood. It says this, all of the imaginations and the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 12 says this, we will walk after our own devices. We will carry everyone and we will everyone do the imaginations of his evil heart. Chapter 1 and verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving our divers lusts. So the scripture speaks about these things. There is a great deal of effort involved in our sin. There is this artful, dexterous management of sin that enables us to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, to hide the true nature of it from others, that we would not bring disgrace or disrespect to ourselves, to hide it from ourselves so that we can live with it, excusing or defending this sin. These are all reasons why we bring about this this detailed effort involved in carrying out our sin. It's the subtle craftiness of it is so great that it takes nothing short of the Word of God itself to uncover it and expose the most secret aspects of the heart. That's why in Hebrews chapter 9, is it 9? No, chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." There's that depth that is spoken about in this passage when it uses that terminology to speak about the inventions of man, seeking out wicked inventions. I think the pursuit of sin is something that is mentioned in this passage as well. It says they sought out, but they have sought out many inventions, right? Isn't that the pursuit of sin? The use of this term reveals a number of important points, I think, that we should point to. There is when it says they sought it out, there is a voluntariness in it. It's done by their own volition. You know, their own choice is made here to do this. There's something deeper than that, though, in the word. I think their own ownership is here, right? This is their own act, their own deed. It's not something that was forced upon them by somebody else. It's something, they have ownership of it. And I would say, when it says they sought it out, there's something here about the diligence of it in this word, right? Their hearts are set upon it, and they're going to do what is necessary in order to achieve the evil desires of their heart. There is a perverse diligence in men to corrupt themselves. You know, when I was reading this passage, Gary responded there about, you know, just shaking his head about just the depth of man's depravity, that they go to these lengths to carry out the wickedness that is in their heart, you know, building an arch to Baal in New York City, you know, the city that never sleeps, right? One of the America's greatest cities. And now here we find an arch built. What a graphic depiction of the state of the heart of man, of people in this country, of the state of the heart of that event. There's men to corrupt themselves. Romans 13, the 14, he says, in making provision or for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, to find ways of feeding their fleshly lust. I think in this passage too, one thing we shouldn't miss out on or avoid talking about is the plurality of sin that is mentioned here, right? Many inventions are spoken about. The reformers realized that the fundamental sin of the human heart is idolatry, and that man by nature his heart is an idol factory by nature. The word many here can also be translated great or mighty, the idea being that the inventions were designed to provide greater position so that they would be able to participate in these things in a greater way, right? In verse 6, it says this, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation," right? They wanted to provide for themselves a greater position through these inventions that they had there, so that they could greater participate in sin. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, where Satan tempted Eve. He tempted her by saying, "And ye shall be as gods." So he tempts her with this temptation. You know, your current standing is not good enough. You can have a better standing, and you can enjoy greater things in this new position. The many, I think, as for the many, it simply conveys the idea of the multitude. The idea is, as the Septuagint renders it, that they sought out many courses or thought or rationales for their evil. Since this reasoning is in the opposition to the way that God has revealed unto us, it results in us in having no clear light to guide us whatsoever. Our heavenly wisdom is lost by our sin and our rebellion. And instead thereof, we have gotten a false and a carnal wisdom that is now given to us. And this is replete throughout the scriptures, like in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, because their carnal mind is enmity against God. And again, James speaks of this. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. It points man away from God and towards the methods of this false happiness here upon the face of the earth. It's a picture of man groping about in a maze of uncertainties, entangling himself more and more. This is the result of their being left to the counsel of their own will. Romans chapter 1 again speaks of, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Vain meaning empty or foolishness is what it exemplifies. Imaginations. Man's deliberating within himself, doubting and disputing that which is true and been revealed to him by God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 30 and 32 says this, they would not of my counsels. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know, this is the worst possible plague that can come upon a man, that he would be left to himself, left to his own false and fallen reasoning. Our own wisdom is a guide that will never lead us to the way of true happiness, but only steer us into the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drowned men in destruction and perdition, as the Apostle Paul told the young minister Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. So why many inventions? Well, I think it's in opposition to the one straight line which leads to true happiness. Christ tells us in Luke chapter 10 that only one thing is necessary. And he says Mary has chosen that one thing, right? And Martha was cumbered about so much serving. Only one thing is necessary, namely to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But error is manifold. Though there be just one path to heaven, there are many ways of sinning and going to hell. You know, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. It's a one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, right? But sin has many different courses, many different ways of sinning. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Isaiah said it this way, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So there's many different ways, many inventions in opposition to that, to the simplicity and the singleness of heart which we had in our original state. Ephesians says there is one body, there is one spirit. You have been called to the one hope of all in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The heart of man was originally in one constant uniform frame, but now instead of this simplicity, there is this multiplicity of sinful alternatives that he's embraced. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The heart is distracted with a variety of objects which offer themselves to our senses. The interest of the world and the flesh are often in competition with God. And Ephesians 4 tells us, 4:14, that we have henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here's the many different to and fro to all these different ways. But the many is contrasted by the one object which alone is sufficient for the happiness and the salvation of every soul here upon the face of the earth. They are insufficient to make us happy. That's what we need to see in these many ways, right? O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. And that was said by Augustine, and absolutely right. We run ourselves ragged, running after all these different things in the world. We were made for God, and we cannot be truly happy apart from a right relationship with Him. Being fallen from God, we invent false ways then of obtaining happiness. And in doing so, we substitute the vain glory for the eternal glory, that which was lost. We substitute a little earthly pleasure for the fullness of joy that we can experience in God's presence. We substitute the trinkets and the perishing vanities of this world for the true riches that are found in Christ. Jeremiah 2:13 said this, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed for themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Isaiah 55 said this, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which that is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." We wear ourselves out, my friend, trying to find happiness and satisfaction apart from God. John said this, John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." If we love our own darkness rather than the counsel of God's provision for us and the remedy offered to us, we will never find and satisfaction in this world. God has shown us the way, and the way is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember this, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.